Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and brought to you by the one man who knows everybody in Orange County, Mr. OC, John Gutierrez.
Thank you, Mr. Paul Roberts, and welcome again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here. Of course, our community is your community. And with us today, we have Mr. Christian Macias, the CEO of Switch Energy, Inc. Welcome, Christian.
Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it. This is a great opportunity. Happy to be here.
And we just want to thank you also. He's one of our new members of our chamber. And what we want to share with you guys today is, most importantly, the importance of understanding what's going on today with energy and, of course, solar panels and all the changes that are happening and why it's important to get educated on what's going on today. And also, of course, we're going to be listening to Christian's, of course, you know, journey and his story of being a CEO, an entrepreneur, and getting to this point in his life. So we're going to get into it. And so stay tuned, of course, to learn more about his business and how they're doing and what they're doing to better get informed on this whole topic. With that, Christian, I would love for you to share with our listeners, our viewers, a little bit about yourself and just where'd you grow up, man?
Yeah, thanks. Just happy you're interested in even knowing my story or anyone that's out there. Yeah, so I guess you said earlier how far back you want to go. Let's start all the way from the beginning. I'm a Mexican-American, born in Visalia, California. If you know where that's at, that's the Central Valley right off the 99 near Fresno. Like growing up, anytime you ever told anybody about where you were from and you would say Visalia, they'd be like, what?
Which, by the way, on the same topic we're on, Visalia right now and all those areas have tons of solar panels, right?
Oh, absolutely.
When you drive that valley, is that what it is? When I've been down that road a couple of times recently, and it's just insane.
It's littered out there.
Right?
Absolutely. Because you have a lot of open space. And so farmers and whatnot really adopted and went into it. It helps power communities and towns and everything. And yeah, it's really neat to see when you drive down.
So it's helping them with their farmland?
Absolutely. It helps them save a significant amount of money by going solar. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Wow. So you grew up in Visalia.
Yep.
And what was that like, man? That's a whole different world in Orange County and Irvine where you live now, right?
A joke. It's like the Midwest of California. So if you're not from there, you don't really understand. We have cows, man. Lots and lots of cows.
Is there such a thing as cow tipping? Is that just a stigma or something?
I've never done it. I've heard of it, but I never saw it. And
for those of you that don't know, there's this old thing about cow tipping. I went to Chico State up north in California, and it's also farmland. Right? Yep. And I remember getting there to this small town, and I was like, what is there to do here for fun? And people were like, oh, we go cow tipping. And I was like, what is that? And they're like, when the cows are asleep, and I guess they sit, right, when they're sleeping, and you come over and try to tip them, I guess?
Standing, yeah.
I don't think you can tip them standing.
They're really heavy.
Yeah.
And if they wake up, dude, they're super agile, way more than you would think.
But you didn't do this in Visalia.
I never did. Never have. No. Now, listen. So my friend's dad was a calf broker. And so what he would do is he would go to all these dairies, and you got 4,000 cow dairies
calf
everywhere.
Calf broker.
Yeah, yeah, for real. So
this is the first time on our show that we hear that. Somebody who's a calf broker.
So okay. He would buy, listen, that's a really cool name for buying and selling calves, because
that must be a good business.
It was definitely good for him, for sure.
Wow. You know,
I didn't get paid super well, but it's just.
Was that one of your first jobs?
That was one of my first jobs, yeah.
With your buddy's dad?
My friend's dad, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, really good family friend. I went to church with him, grew up with him, and in the summers, like, we'd go up, but I want to say leave the house at 5:30.
How old were you then?
15, 16, 14, yeah.
This is where the entrepreneur mindset began.
Yeah,
he's young, his own business. You were already working with somebody that had their own business.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
We'd go around to all these dairies. Like, they don't keep the bull calves, so that for them, they just want the females because they milk them and stuff, and they raise them.
Of course.
And so then they would take and they'd tell him, he'd buy them, and then he'd go to basically all your In-N-Out hamburgers. I still remember the guy's name. I think Ted Gardonis. This guy set the price in the world for what meat gets bought at or whatever. And yeah,
you know what's interesting? You bring this whole business up because. Yeah. When I went to Chico State, it was known as, and it still is, as an agricultural school.
For sure.
And I said, and people would come from all over the world, or whatever, to go and get this degree. And I was like, and I'm a city slicker, right?
Yeah.
From Santana. I'm why are people coming to Chico State for agriculture? Just to your point, the business of owning a farm, producing cattle.
Dairy,
Dairy also from the cattle, the cheese, the everything, the whole business behind.
Yep.
It's a very
cattle ranches.
Lucrative business, if done the right way.
Yeah. So it's complicated, but and it's very generational. So there's a few families, a lot of Dutch that actually moved from Chico down into the Central Valley. And there's only so much land, and that's owned by a few families and people. And yeah, they run the show for sure. And but it's good. That's what everyone does, is if when you're growing up, and especially if you're Hispanic, you're going to work in fields and do a lot of different things.
Historically speaking, the way you said it, working in fields is not easy. That's hard work.
Yeah. So I never did that.
So whoever did that, man, my respects for them, because that is hard. My dad was a field worker when he came here in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And he shared many stories with us, and that is just hard work. Yep. Shout out to all the people that work hard for us in the fields. So you're in Visalia. At what point do you move out of Visalia?
Wow. Let's see. So I was born and raised in Visalia. First time I actually left was right around when I was 19. I ended up going on a mission for my church.
Nice.
And I spent a couple years in Kentucky, Louisville, Lexington, all over, just being a missionary for the church that I went to.
Did you feel like you grew a lot at that point? You learned a lot?
Absolutely. Like it's one of the most vital, important things I ever did in my life was like spend 2 years helping other people.
That's awesome.
Sharing kind of my beliefs, but more than anything, it was all about loving the people that lived out there.
Of course.
I did a lot of humanitarian aid. I did a lot of what's it called, translating for people. So I'd go to courthouses, read people's mail, just help them like navigate.
All the little things that matter.
You know what? So what was crazy about that is when I found out that I was going to go out there to go speak specifically Spanish to help out the Spanish community, first thing I said, I was like, are there any Mexicans in Kentucky? And it turns out, no, there's not a whole lot of them.
But really?
Yeah. For real, there are, right? But like the vast majority of the people that I ended up like falling in love with and getting to know and meet were Cubans, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, and they were a flavor of Latino that I hadn't really mixed or understood, because in Central Valley, most of them are for like Mexico. And not only are they from Mexico, but they're for like my specific area that my family's from, which is like one of the biggest states.
Guadalajara, you know, Jalisco.
It's very well known.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that blood through there. That was really cool. It was really neat to see other
Hispanic
culture.
It's interesting you mentioned Kentucky, because my wife and I, we've been watching the Netflix series about the whole Kentucky Derby.
Oh, really? And, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and my wife's like, we need to go to Kentucky. We need to go see it's the gorgeous. Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, they don't really? Call it, listen, they don't call it the Bluegrass State for nothing. It's a lot, but it's absolutely pristine.
They're the movies, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Their highways don't look anything like ours. There's grass in the middle, right? Like the partition from one side to the other. It's super clean. People take a lot of pride. And it's a much slower walk of life out there. But everyone's really friendly.
Paul
really
has
good.
A question.
The food's good.
And they have whiskey, American whiskey, which is called bourbon.
That's right.
Paul's talking about the bourbon and the whiskey over here because he's a Minnesota guy. And
that's right.
They're always cold and they need something to keep them warm.
Because I'm Irish.
Yes, Irish. That's right. He's Irish.
That's great.
So you go to this mission. You go do this. At what point then do you settle into your career, or you go into... college.
Yeah. So I get back, and there's moments in your life that are really important, right? Into shaping who you become and what you do. Best thing that ever happened to me was meeting my sweetheart, my wife, Annie.
Shout out to the wife.
Shout out Annie. To Annie Macias, if she's out there watching.
Yes.
She's the love of my life, and very quickly formed a
you
bond.
Met her in Kentucky?
No, sorry. When I got home from my mission. So I got back and actually here's interesting. So I was going to go back to the University of Kentucky. I applied and was going to go to school out there. I think I was trying to go dental school. I don't even remember what I was thinking about doing, but I just knew that I wanted to go back because I wanted to go to school out there.
You liked it there,
I did,
huh?
Yeah. Nice. It was really good. But ended up meeting my wife on a blind date, and just stuff changed. My plans changed meeting her.
Yeah. Two boys.
That's right, yeah. And honestly, so we're going on, I want to say 18 years. And it's the best decision I ever made. She's my best friend. She keeps me grounded, and together we're in this world to make it a better place. And we've brought our two boys, beautiful boys, this picture. By the way, I don't like photos of myself, man. I don't think I'm super photogenic.
We always do a flyer for our podcast guests, right? Yeah. And we have all sorts of different people that send us photos of their professional shots, right? CEOs, of course, like yourself, Christian, of course. And he sends me a family photo of him and his two boys. And I said, okay, just so you know, they're going to crop your boys out and it's just going to be you. Because that's normally when people send us photos like that. And he says, no, I want my boys in the photo. And I was like, okay, are you sure? Okay,
the best
we kept them in the photo, right? And so
they're a lot.
today, when he arrived, our president, CEO Ruben, was like looking around and he's like, where's your boys? I thought they were going to be on the podcast show. So we thought we were going to interview all three of you.
And the picture's 10 years old. So the boys are like little kids and now they're growing up.
Yeah, exactly. They're about 6'3" now, one of them, right?
Yeah, one of them. 6'2".
6'3", yeah. And he happens to be also teammates, of course, with my son at the same high school. So shout out to Northwood High School. Yes, the football players there.
Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves, yes, in Northwood. So you meet your wife.
Yep.
And at what point and what career did you decide to pursue at that point? Because you were looking into the dental industry, but decided...
I think it's fair. Let me start with this, right? At a young age, I was diagnosed with ADHD. So I have ADHD, right? Which is a blessing and a curse. And when I was younger, I didn't really understand. As I got older, I started to learn more about that diagnosis and what that meant. Because when you're young and growing up in a Hispanic household, like that's, I don't know, not something that you really talk about. It's just like, stop being lazy, pay attention, don't be dumb, blah, blah, blah. That was the thought and the idea. And so anyway, being ADHD means all possibilities are open in front of you, right? That's one of the beautiful things about it, is that you're this like hopeful, really excited about what you can do. And there's so many paths you really can choose, right? So I actually started off as a bio major in college, right? I loved biology. I was okay at biology. Chemistry kicked my butt, right? And very quickly I was like, they won't let you into dental school with D's in chemistry.
What made you like biology? What was it about it that...
You know, I'm an auditory learner.
Okay.
And so one of my favorite teachers in high school was my bio teacher. And he's a really good storyteller, right? So I really love the macro view of biology and just telling us stories about like how people made discoveries and Mendel and the plants. Talked about Aristotle and how he was sitting there thinking about particles, and if you broke them down, all of a sudden, this is what would come of it.
You're the first guest to ever bring up Aristotle to this show.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I want to take it back real quick,
yeah,
because I think it's important that as we tell people's journeys on this show, and as you're sharing yours, I think that's great that you're opening up about the fact that, hey, I was diagnosed with this, and you had to learn to, I guess you could say, deal with it, right?
Yep.
For those viewing and listening, what would you say if they have a child that's going through this? Because it's true what you said earlier. Maybe in our Hispanic community, obviously we're the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Sometimes the way we're raised is just, hey, suck it up. Let's go. Deal with it. That's just the way our old-fashioned parents were. Like, they didn't believe in certain diagnoses.
And you know what? Part of me is like, they weren't wrong about why you want to have that mentality of perseverance, right? Like, our people tend to not focus on the negative. We're pretty happy. If you look in general, and this is, again, an overall generalization, I feel like Hispanics love to love life. If you look at like how the world views Mexico and its people, they say that we're some of the like when you look at soccer, when it goes worldwide, the Euros or whatever, they talk about the energy that they bring, right? And I think part of that's embracing the now, the moment, and being really happy, or as happy as you can be in that moment. So that is a principle that I think is very necessary, but it's also really important to like then educate and understand why the things are what they are and not just ignore them. It's no, you want to have that, but after you've understood who you are, where you come from, and why your life is the way that it is, right? So that then you can use that perseverance, but direct it more towards where you want to go.
Yeah, you use it obviously to your best benefit, right? Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, it's funny. My sister would always tell me that even though I've never been diagnosed with it, she would always say that I had it, right, growing up, because she says I'm like all over the place. I have all this energy, which, by the way, guys, if you've ever been to one of our high school football games, both Christian and myself are the two guys running across like the stands.
Hey, don't forget Harper.
Yes.
If Harper's out there, yes. Mr. Harper, if he's out there listening.
There's two or three dads that we're just like, we got the whole crowd going. We're
the vibe, bro.
Yeah. We're like in the playoffs. The crowd's going. And by the way, there was a game where I actually didn't say anything. I sat down. I didn't want to say anything because I was just tired that day. And I got pushed back after the game from my son, and his friends are like, how come your dad wasn't saying anything? I'm like, Christian was doing it, man. He had it taken care of. Yeah. So it's almost like the fact that we have that helps us, right?
Absolutely.
We have so much energy. We can just maybe turn around a crowd at a football game, right? Yeah. You're using it to your advantage, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, just anything, right? I think it's a double-edged sword. Right. And so there's positives and negatives to everything. I don't care what it is. Even like grit and determination, if that becomes the only thing you focus on, it can also be a detriment. Right. So I think that understanding that there's a balance with it and what it does for you and how to use it, because absolutely that is life. is figuring out how to navigate those choppy waters with what you've been given. So early on, I'll tell you, like, so many failures over, and I've got zero embarrassment about any of that stuff, right? Like, I had this mindset, I remember as a little kid, that said, it's better to have tried and have failed than to have not tried at all. And so I was really curious, right? And so I just did a million different things, and some stuff I was naturally good at and then just didn't keep going with it because that's enough. And other things I wasn't good at all.
Because you played football, right?
I did. Yeah, I loved football. It's my passion.
I think you told me you were a linebacker.
Running back, linebacker. I played a lot of different positions as I was coming through.
See, it helped you. Yeah. It helped you to have that energy, right?
Yeah.
Not fear.
I couldn't sit still, right? So I needed that.
Go ahead, Paul. I know what you're going to say.
You must have heard the legend of the rocket.
Stop.
Everybody comes in and talks about the legend of the rocket.
I bet he was faster than I was. If I could get my hands on him, though.
It's interesting how our paths are very similar, right? Our journeys. We both dealt with this, right, situation in our lives, but also played sports, used it to our advantage. We both played football. I was a running back, too. You were a running back. So it goes to show that if you have a daughter or a son and they're dealing with that, it's not something to say, oh, wow, it's going to be tough for you. They could use it to their advantage, right?
Yeah, so I have my son, Noah says he has it. And you know what? To be fair, let me say this. There's a spectrum. So just like with autism or any other diagnosis out there that has a spectrum in and of itself, it varies from boys and girls, how it presents itself. It's also different from you and I, right? Like what things affect me, or what they call them, morbidities, right? Which is just kind of those things that you're struggling with themselves, but it shows up different in different people. And so that just means that there's verity. Right?
So how did we get to solar power?
Yes, we're getting there. We're getting there. We got 15 more minutes.
Solar
we're getting
power.
There.
He loves it. He's the one that's
listen,
on this, right?
I love to hear these journeys because I honestly believe that sometimes there's a reason why you are where you are today because of the path you come from, right?
Sure.
Your journey.
Yep.
And so I know Paul doesn't have a lot of patience, but believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying this. I have more patience than Paul.
Oh, my goodness.
Power. I'll sum it up, right? I tried a lot of different things in college. I changed my major. You ask my wife, it drive her nuts, and a lot of times. And then I finally fell on something that I really enjoyed, which was business. And it came way more natural to me because that's what business is, right? So if you can solve a problem with a solution, right, then you've got a business essentially. And there could be a market. It's just you determining and understanding. And so what school did for me more than anything is it helped me understand how to think about business and solve problems from a business perspective. And so I'm a huge believer in business. I think that it can do things that government can't always do. It can solve it can solve problems in very unique ways.
What school did you go to?
So I went to Fresno Pacific. Shout out to any Sunbirds out there.
Fresno.
Yo, we don't have a lot of sports teams, we don't have a football team, but we have basketball team, baseball team,
nice.
Track and all that kind of stuff. So
Fresno, okay.
Out in Fresno.
So you ended up going under, what did you decide to do when you were there? You said biology?
So I was a bio major when I started.
Okay.
And then I changed my major 2-3 times at one point. History. I love
By the way, everybody does that. Everybody does that in college. If you have any kids getting ready to go to college, they'll switch 3 or 4 times.
The first 2-3 years, man, like you're taking all these like courses because you're getting your generals out of the way. And I think that's intended, right? And what's funny is like every teacher, if they're a good one, they try to sell their profession or like what they studied, their major.
I never thought about that. They try to compel you to like, hey,
if you're studying.
I remember
study
I went
this.
Into journalism, political science. Then I was looking at liberal studies.
Yeah.
And eventually I ended up in sociology.
There you go.
It was just like, you know what I mean?
The progression.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it has to do, like you said, whoever your professors are and however they teach in the classroom,
yep.
It inspires you at a young age to go, oh man, I want to be that person.
Yeah, they capture
right?
Your attention. So anyway, long story short, business, that's where I landed.
Is that where you met your wife, in college?
No, not yet. It was before college. So,
okay.
It was after my mission and I was about to get into, so I was just working like a summer job.
Nice.
And so it was before school started. She was in pharmacy school, by the way. So my wife's a pharmacist.
Wow, well, let's slow down. He just says, my wife's a pharmacist. That's pretty big. Being a pharmacist is like some serious.
She's a smart girl. For
shout
sure.
out to the wife, way to go. Yeah. Pharmacy,
she
that's,
did it
that's really tough.
She does not have ADHD.
No, to be a pharmacist, man, you have to learn a lot of stuff. Like our friends that are in the pharmacy industry, and that's not easy. It is tough.
Yeah.
So kudos
smart,
to her.
Smart girl. Yeah.
Solar really hard. Power.
We're
solar
going. We're, Paul, we're getting there. Paul, stop.
Paul, I have a, just so you know, it's like I'm always heading that way, but it's like he's the one that drives us off.
I can tell. Solar power.
Okay, so remember, so I finished, school, now working, right? I'm looking at different avenues. I got into skilled nursing. I was just trying to find my place into what I wanted to do until it hit me that I was like, dude, I want to be a CEO someday. And so once you have that idea in your mind, it won't let you go away. But here's the thing, right? Like, it's hard to find a track, and there's no promising way to tell you that, like, there is no corporate ladder that if you follow perfectly at any one place that someday you'll be the CEO of that company. It doesn't really work that way. Most CEOs, like, literally have to create their own opportunity, because that's what I ultimately saw. I was like, no one's going to give me what I want. Yeah. What I envision in my mind in terms of what I want to do on a daily basis doesn't exist for me. And I said, I'm willing to go out and create that. And so I feel like now it was slow. So sales, okay, so let's get into, that's how kind of sales comes about, because the first job I had in solar was solar sales.
Okay.
It attracted me because the pay was great. It was commission only. The opportunity was the, hey, go help people save money on their energy bills. And that's it, right? And you get paid to do that. And so then I picked the biggest solar company at the time that was the nicest with the most training and had everything that was, that I thought was what I wanted and needed. And I joined, and it was an amazing ride. I was one of the top salesmen there, ran teams, recruited people, and had a really good time and learned a lot about the industry. So I loved it. So that started a now 11, 12 year journey into solar. And I've been in it ever since. And yeah.
When did Switch Energy Inc. get founded or started?
When did we start? Yeah.
When did you throw the switch?
When did we throw the switch?
Yeah.
So we're in 2025. So 2024.
Okay.
We've been in business for a little over a year now.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate
Congratulations.
That.
Congratulations. Yeah. It's not easy starting your own business. We've had many entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like we say, like diving into the pool and sink or swim, right? Mm-hmm. It's different when you work somewhere and it's already, there's a system and operations, everything's built.
Yeah.
When you got to go on your own and start from fresh, what was that for you? That's not easy.
So luckily for me, right, I've done a lot of different things in solar to understand from start to finish, from a customer acquisition all the way to turning on a system and having a happy customer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving pieces. Like I say, conceptually, solar is simple, but it's really complicated because of all of the moving pieces that take place and the work that you've got to go do.
And the changing government regulations.
Like. Yeah. If you did a SWOT analysis, right? Those of you that know that business, strengths, weaknesses, SWOT? Opportunities, and threats.
SWOT analysis.
Yes. It stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so it says, hey, look, from an internal perspective as a business, you do that for yourself. And then from an external, all the businesses, everything outside of you, how is it going to affect your business? And that's anything from your customers to the government to suppliers. Those are all the things that impact what you do. And I'll tell you, running an EPC, that's what we're known as, right? So engineering, procurement, construction, solar integrator is one of the toughest things you can do in our industry because, again, there's a lot of things that change on a
consistent
basis.
And so does that mean that you just sell the systems? There are many companies that just sell them and then turn it over to somebody else who actually installs it and runs it and sets it up, or do you do both?
No, we do end-to-end, right? Acquiring of the customer, that's the first step, right? Then it's getting them approved for financing, whether that's them paying for it themselves, cash, finance, going with banks, whether they get a loan, or our favorite, right now the industry I would say is probably 80, 90% of the business that's being thrown on is what they call TPO, third party ownership. And so it's a lease or a power purchase agreement. It's very popular, zero out of pocket expense. It gets installed, maintained, monitored. Everything gets handled by the solar company, and the homeowners just reap the benefits and rewards. So they buy the power at a discounted rate. Because listen, if we complicate solar, right? It's like people say, too many choices, a lot going on. It boils down to this. You pay on a cents per kilowatt hour basis for power that you use. And you're always going to consume power no matter what. Where it comes from, that varies, right? But at the end of the day, what most homeowners are interested in doing is paying less for the power that they're using. And so because you have 100-year-old infrastructure, right? The power poles are there. Yes, you have power plants that keep getting shut down in California. We don't have these because you don't want Chernobyl. You don't want Tokyo. Like we have the opportunity for great earthquakes to happen. And obviously that can create natural disasters, even though when you look at a nuclear power plant, it's actually clean energy, right? It really is. It's just what happens is that you have to use a lot of water. It has a lot of waste and you have to dispose of that stuff really carefully.
And you gotta contain the radioactivity.
The radioactivity, that's what we talk about, right? And so you contaminate drinking water to do this. Edison so long ago talked about the natural resources you have to create and use power. The sun is the biggest and largest nuclear reactor out there, right? If you just harvest it, it's a plenty. Like every day you wake up, power's there. And so luckily we figured out a way to do that.
I wish we had the time to go into it. We don't, yeah. But it is very complex. I bought solar on my house a couple of years ago, and the whole way is very complicated when you get into it. It can be made simple. I'm hopeful that it comes out, this can help you explain it, but lot of different things to consider.
Most important thing is, the show is obviously only 30 minutes, so we can only go into so many things. But the most important thing that I also want to make sure that we point out, and obviously you can touch on this more, Christian, is this is a booming industry. It's a growing market. For those of you watching or listening, I have a son getting ready to go to college. Many of you are already in your careers. Definitely look into these opportunities, new job opportunities, right? New businesses like Christian. He's what you consider one of our local new members of our chamber. He's one of our businesses. And you want to connect with him to learn more about what he's doing and his business. And as they grow and they hire.
Yeah, we employ a lot of different people, engineers, electricians, just laborers in general, roofers. It takes a lot of different people, admin, staff, to get the work done. We have a lot of remote workers
real quick,
as well.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that? Repeat that again, the list.
So engineers, electricians, laborers, roofers, what's it called? Admins. So
all these people that are part of the solar industry.
Marketing, graphic right? design, salespeople.
You don't realize. People just hear solar and they're like, oh, somebody's going to go up and put a panel up on a house.
It's
like
it requires a lot of
And the people that are also selling it make good money. You were one of those people, right? Mm-hmm. When you worked in that industry for many years. They make good commission, right?
Yeah, sales. How much are we going to take the... Listen, if you work really hard and you help a lot of people, you deserve to get compensated. And luckily, people do. And so we routinely have six-figure income sales reps that are very successful and can sustain it and have a happy home and family doing well. Early sales reps, probably low six figures. There are some people that can hit even and higher than that.
And the reason why I love shows like this today is because as I'm out there in the community all the time, obviously we're dealing with a very changing economy right now. A lot of changes are happening. Some industries are doing well, some others are not. And so many of you that are listening or watching our show on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, might be looking for a different opportunity, right? Maybe looking for a different job, maybe looking to move careers. Everybody has their own bills, problems, and careers they got to deal with. And this is good that we're bringing to you in our show an industry that's growing, right? Yeah. An industry that I believe is booming.
It's going to continue. Right? Like market penetration, California alone, just drive around, right? Like they came out and changed the code for construction. Every new home has to have solar on it, right? So that's, you already see new builds that have them. But retroactively, there's a ton of homes in every neighborhood that don't have solar yet. Every house should have solar. I 100% believe in that. It's very useful. Now, every house can't. There are limits and issues like how much sun is available for the roof. Is your electrical service system like capable of taking in the power that's feeding it? But all those things matter.
I know we got to go soon, but
I just want to tell one thing. Go find somebody like this gentleman to start the journey. Don't just walk into Costco and say, oh, I'm going to get a solar panel when they're there. It's much more complicated. There are lots of financial issues, lots of things to consider, moving parts. Should you get a battery? Should you not get a battery? Different, and all based on different regulations. So my advice is start with a guy like this who can do it all for you.
So for those of you viewing on different platforms here, and you might have not heard Paul, basically what he's saying is it's good to come to speak to people like Christian because they're our local business. And of course, there's big people like Costco that offer these things. But it's good to talk to people, Christian, because you can have that one-on-one, right? That personal conversation, questions, concerns, challenges, because it can be complicated and he'll make it easy for you. He'll simplify it, right? But more importantly, because you're also supporting one of our local businesses, one of our members of our chamber, and one of our local businesses. It's always about contacting our local businesses. How can they reach you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so if you go to our website, Switch Energy Inc., or sorry, switchinc.energy, you'll be able to contact
us
there.
So switchinc.energy.
Yeah, switchinc.energy. Okay. Our phone number's on there. You can Google us. You'll find us on Google. If you go to our Facebook, just search Switch Energy Inc. It'll pull my face up, or Christian Macias on the Instagram handle that you have, or follow John.
Yes.
It'll lead you back to me.
Or feel free to leave a comment or send us a message, and we'll connect you with Christian. I think most importantly is, it's something new out there, I think, that a lot of people are still learning about. What better way than to connect with somebody who knows about the industry? If we can help connect you so you can learn about it, and whether it's getting it for your home or a possible job or opportunity for yourself or a child of yours that's looking to get an opportunity or a job, I think a lot of people don't realize there's so many people employed in this industry, and it's a booming industry. Christian, we've run out of time. Yep. I'm so sorry. Paul kept interrupting.
My fault.
I love Paul.
Paul wanted personal advice on his home. And I said, Paul, this is not the time. We're trying to educate the community. I'm just kidding, Paul. I'm just kidding. Christian, Paul, I appreciate you coming out here and being very transparent with us in your journey, in your life. We wish you much success, and we'll be seeing you on the football field, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Noah, you won't see me on the football field.
But Meaning out there, the dads cheering them on. But again, there's nothing like supporting a local friend, a local business, and we wish you much success. Again, Christian Macias, CEO of Switch Energy, Inc.
Thank you for having me, John, and thank you, Paul, for being so kind.
Thanks for sharing.
All right, Paul, take it away.
There you have it, another great reason to tune in each and every time to Meet Our Community. Hosted by your community chamber, the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.